AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO and Sim Trainer Indoor Range and Firearms Training Center present Shooting from the Hip. Straight talk about firearms, ammunition, self-defense, when and where you can carry, legislation, and legal issues. All about safety, training, and so much more. Your hosts are Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer, currently assigned City of Kettering Detective, and owner and lead instructor at Sim Trainer. Mark is a retired Air Force officer, senior staff instructor at Sim Trainer, and NRA-certified instructor in multiple disciplines. They're here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Join them by calling 457-1290. Now, Shooting from the Hip. On AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just across from the street from DP&L. You can reach us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be glad to help you with any and all of your shooting-related interests or needs and take care of you. And I can't think of a better thing to do on this hot weekend, because I know darn well you're not going to want to be out in the yard or doing anything outside. Remember that we have an air-conditioned, climate-controlled range. Temperature remains constant at around 76 to 78, no more than 80 degrees, very low humidity. Out of the sun, what a great way to spend an hour if you're looking for something to do. Just get on down to the range. If you have a membership, take advantage of your membership opportunities or your membership privileges. If you don't have a membership, become a member today. You can walk in and become a member there on the spot. It takes about 15 minutes of paperwork processing, and you can be on your way. We'll take you out and do a range check with you, and you can be on your way to enjoying the shooting sports at a climate-controlled facility. Couldn't think of a better way to spend a 100-plus degree day than inside a shooting range as opposed to doing anything outside today. I also want to remind you that we have a number of upcoming classes that are being offered at Sim Trainer that you might be interested in. First of all is our award-winning First Shots class. The next session is going to be held Saturday, August 7th from 9 to 12 in the morning. The next First Shots class just after that then will be Thursday, August 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. I will let you know that the Saturday class is almost full. It only has about 4 slots available, so if you want to get registered for that class, give us a call at the range or stop by today or tomorrow, because that will probably fill by the end of the day tomorrow. Did you have something you wanted to add, Mark?
Yeah, the Thursday night First Shots class is something new for us. We did one last month, and that was the first time we tried doing that, except for special events, which we've, of course, done before. But it filled, too. So, you know, now we're finding that folks that maybe don't have as much time available on the weekends but might want to take an evening in the middle of the week and come down and learn a little bit about the handgun and shooting sports in general, that's a great way to do it. So we're really looking forward to what that's going to do for the Dayton community and the people that want to get involved in shooting.
Again, those dates for First Shots are Saturday, August 7th from 9 to 12, and Thursday, August 19th from 6 to 9. We also have our next session of Concealed Carry coming up Monday through Thursday night, August 9th through the 12th from 5:30 to 9:30. Again, that's Monday through Thursday evening, August 9th through the 12th, 5:30 to 9:30. And that's our weekday class, and we try to alternate on alternate months so that we give people the opportunity, just as we do in First Shots, that if they can't tie up a weekend, they can certainly make it during the week after their work hours and make it convenient for them to do so. So if you have an opportunity to take advantage of those classes, please give us a call at 293-3914 or stop by the range at 2031 Dryden Road, and we'll be glad to get you registered and get you on your way. We had a couple people come in this morning, a couple females came in. They just heard about us on the radio last week, and they're already ready to go with them and their daughters in First Shots next week. So it's a great opportunity to get started, and I encourage you to stop by and give us a chance to help you with your shooting needs. I also want to remind our listeners about some guns that we have for sale. We're clearing out our inventory of range guns in an attempt to purchase some of the newer offered guns that are on the market. We've already actually done that. We currently have two of the new guns, one of the Generation 4 Glock 19s. That's the newest Glock that's out on the market. And we just recently got a Ruger SR9 Compact. It's the standard SR9, but in a compact version, a little bit easier for concealment. Give you an opportunity to try those out. But the guns we have for sale, I mentioned last week, we have the Sig Sauer 522 rifle. That's a 22 long rifle, AR-15 style type rifle with a flat top. It's on sale for $399. We have a Sig Sauer P220 concealed carry. It's called the C3 model. It's a 45 ACP. It's on sale for $749. We have a Walther PKS 380 on sale for $399. A Taurus Judge. That's the Taurus model that shoots both the 410 and the 45 long Colt. We're clearing that out at $399. We have a Ruger 10/22 Tactical. That's the Ruger standard 10/22 rifle, but they've blackened it up and put a little bit of tactical-looking collapsible stock and a black forearm on it, and they call it their Tactical. That's clearing for $259. And then we have a Sig Sauer P232 380 Auto in stainless steel for $549. Those are clearance prices. You're not going to find those prices available anywhere on the web or otherwise. And again, we're going to take advantage of the funds from the sale of those guns to purchase additional range guns to make it enjoyable for our members to try out some of the new things that are hitting the market at the present time.
And when we get some of the new ones in, then we may have a few other guns that we'll be able to roll out as well. So it'll be a good opportunity for folks. Let's go out to the phones and talk to Leslie and Troy, who has a question for us. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I hope I don't lose you. I've been listening to you for a while, and I kind of trust you enough to ask you my question.
Well, thank you.
About 10 years ago, my father passed away, and I inherited guns from him. And there's quite a few of them, and I don't know who to go to, who to trust, to kind of give me an estimate on the value of these to try to sell them. You know me anonymously, but I'm not too crazy about having almost 40 guns in my home.
Well, Leslie, let me give you a couple of suggestions. First of all, if you want to just come down personally to the range and make arrangements to see Mark or I, we would be more than glad to talk to you personally about your collection, because before we would get into the detail as to how you're going to sell them, we want to find out what you have, and we can possibly assist you in selling them to our members, to other people that are interested, and we could certainly refer you to people at the Ohio Gun Collectors Association if he has some older guns to maximize the profit.
Okay.
The other thing we would talk to you about, considering the guns, I don't know if you have children.
No.
Okay. Maybe there's other family members. There may be a few of those guns. Just because of the make and model and how rare they are, you may want to pass those on to other family members as opposed to let them get the hands of
only
other.
One.
Okay. Well, there might be something. I'm just going to offer you those options. But what I'd like to encourage you to do is hit us on the website at sim-trainer.com.
Okay.
And I'd be more than glad to correspond with you, and we can make arrangements for maybe Mark and I, or just Mark or myself or Mark, to sit down with you and see what you have, see what you want to do, and we can direct you in the right direction based on what you want to get accomplished.
Okay. Also, I'd like to keep a few of them, and I would need lessons on how to clean them, load them, take care of them, what type of ammunition to buy for them. I'm hoping you could help me with all that, too.
And that's absolutely the area that we specialize in, and we would probably start with that and get you acclimated, because you might find that a couple of the guns that you thought you were going to sell, you'd want to keep for yourself.
Okay.
And we will start you at a very basic level, and we'll bring you up to speed very quickly, and we'll take you all the way through from firearm safety, safety in the home, to basic functional operation of whatever gun or guns you end up deciding to keep, and then we'll get you proficient, and then we'll give you opportunities to come and practice with whatever guns you want to shoot.
I appreciate that. I just didn't want to start going through a phone book and letting people know that I have guns.
Well, I appreciate you making the call to the show here, and I assure you this, we will do the best to get you where you want to be and the comfort level that you feel is adequate for the circumstances that you have, both in getting rid of some of the guns and also, more importantly to me anyway, making you feel comfortable with the guns that you decide to keep, either for personal safety or whatever the case might be.
All right, well, I'll be contacting you and hopefully be coming there in the next couple weeks.
That'll be fine.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you so much for calling the show, and we're glad to have you as a listener and now a new gun owner as well.
Thank you, and thanks for answering my question.
Thanks very much. We're about ready to take our first break, and so we'll be back in just a few minutes after paying a couple of bills. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, and with Mark Avery. We're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor firing range and firearms training center. And just before the break, one of our callers happened to mention that she had some guns that she had inherited and she didn't know what to do with them. Well, that's a pretty common situation. I don't want to call it a problem because it's not a problem if you get a hold of the right people, but that's a common situation people find themselves in when family members pass away and they start looking through or dealing with whatever they inherit or the personal property. They have to figure out what they're going to do with the guns. We had a case in a local jurisdiction whereby a daughter had their elderly father pass away, and she ended up having 7 or 10 guns. I can't remember, but the actual book value was over $10,000, but I didn't find out about it till after the fact, and she just called the police department earlier in the week when she wanted to get rid of them. And once they do that and they become property of the police department, her wish to have them destroyed will have to be honored, so we had to send them to the foundry and have them shredded, whereby if she was able to get a hold of someone like us here at, or any other gun dealer for that matter, she would have been able to make a pretty considerable amount of profit. And there were some very interesting firearms that ended up going to the foundry and being shredded unnecessarily. So I want to encourage you, if you come across that situation, get a hold of somebody who can at least direct you to somebody who has some knowledge to get maximum value for those guns and make it profitable for you. I want to encourage any of our listeners to call in. If you have any questions, concerns about firearms-related issues, give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'll be glad to get you on the air. Mark, we have anybody holding at the present time?
No.
I want to also let our listeners know about a very a good event that's coming up on September 27th. The Miami Valley Crime Stoppers is going to have its 10th annual fundraiser. And I just want to let you know that the Miami Valley Crime Stoppers is a great organization because they're the organization that provides the rewards for people who call in anonymous calls about criminals to get them off the streets. And in their recent literature, I just happened to notice in the last 25 years, their actions and activities have resulted in getting over 3,500 criminals off the street, and they've sent out reward money in excess of hundreds of thousands of dollars as a result of the efforts of private citizens who call in with tips to tip off the police. So this is a great fundraiser. The money goes to a good cause. They're having the four-person golf scramble at the community golf course in Kettering. Again, it's on September 27th, 2010. The cost is $70 per player or $280 per foursome, and that includes green fees, the cart, complimentary gifts, door prizes, and a wonderful chicken dinner catered by Old Hickory. And if anybody's eaten at the Old Hickory, you know that that's going to be a great feast. They're going to offer a variety of contests, as are typical in these types of scrambles, including a hole-in-one, closest to the pin, and longest drive contest. And if you need additional information, you can give them a call at 222-STOP. That's 222-STOP, or contact Detective Case Cantrell at 333-1196. Again, that's the Miami Valley Crime Stoppers. They can be reached at 222-STOP or Detective Case Cantrell, who's coordinating this very worthy event, at 333-1196.
And while we're talking about golf outings, then let's talk about one other that's going on real soon. That's Friday, July 30th and Saturday, July 31st. That's the Freedom Alliance Golf Classic. And this is the fourth annual version of it. It's a 501c3 charity that was founded. Freedom Alliance is a 501c3 charity that was founded in 1990. It's you probably heard about it on some of the other programs here on WHIO. It's been sponsored by Sean Hannity with his Freedom Concerts, as donates to that Freedom Alliance, and the Miami Valley Freedom Alliance Charity Golf Classic is the next largest contributor to the Freedom Alliance Fund anywhere in the country besides the Sean Hannity Freedom Concert. So if you're interested in that, you can go to Miami Valley Freedom Alliance Golf Classic. There's also a link to it on our website from last year's event. And just listen to the ads here on WHIO, and you'll also find their phone numbers that you can talk to Al Scott, who is coordinating this as well with the with Al Scott Financial Services. So that's another great opportunity if you're like to get involved and interested in contributing to that. So let's go out to the phones, Jeff, and we'll talk to Marcus in Dayton, who has a question about employers and firearms. Marcus, welcome to the show.
How you doing today, sir?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling.
If you have a CCW, can an employer tell you that you cannot have your firearm in your vehicle while you're at work or off work?
Well, your employer can tell you that you can't have the firearm in your vehicle while you're working and on the property of the employer.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's an employee-employer relationship. That's not something that's affected by the law. The law, for in terms of if they post a sign that says no firearms, it's a civil case. But then, of course, you know, if you're an employee, one of their civil remedies is they can fire you. So that's not necessarily a good thing either. So you just need to understand that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, sir. Have a great day, and I enjoy your show.
Well, thanks very much for calling. Let's go out to Ed in Midway, who has a question. Ed, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I know that the heat has a bad effect on ammunition, and I was wondering, when you leave your concealed weapon in a car on a day like today, what that might do or what deteriorate the ammunition, especially a cook-off or anything like that?
It's not going to be something that has an immediate effect. You're not going to have a cook-off. You're talking several hundred degrees before you have anything like it's going to go off. The problem comes from just the degradation of the ammunition. And that's one of the reasons why we recommend that people change out their concealed carry ammunition at least once a year. And then that way, even though, yeah, that's not the best environment, and if you do have to leave it in a motor vehicle in summer days like this, it's going to cause some air exchange within the cartridges as it heats up and cools. And when it cools, it draws humidity in, and that's where that moisture gets inside. So that causes some degradation, but within a year, you're going to be fine. Jeff?
Let me add to that. We had a guy come to concealed carry about 6 months or a year ago, and he came with a six-shot revolver that he had been keeping underneath the seat of his car for many, 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 many months. So therefore, it was exposed to atmospheric conditions, changes in atmospheric conditions that resulted in condensation buildup, and not only did he develop rust on the outside of the gun, he developed rust and corrosion on the rounds and inside the chambers where the rounds were. Matter of fact, several of them were seized up, and we had to clean the gun substantially before we were even able to let him use it on the range. So that's something you want to be careful, is long-term, anything more than a few days. I don't ever recommend people store their firearm in their car, period, at all, even overnight. I recommend you take it into your house and secure it. Don't leave it in your car, because your car is very vulnerable to a theft. And
then take the whole car.
Exactly. And if you have it locked in a case inside the vehicle, if they take the vehicle, they'll have plenty of time. So that's not suitable. But you know, we're talking about during the day when you're going someplace where you can't carry a firearm on your person and you need to lock it in your vehicle, you're not going to have a problem with the ammunition as a result of that.
Well, mine gets used up occasionally, so I don't have to worry about that, I guess.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling the show. We're going to take our break at the bottom of the hour and go into the news center with Charles Van Sant. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Give us a call at 457-1290. We'll be back shortly. This is AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Thank you, Ted, and welcome back to the show. Let's go right out to the phone, since we do have some folks, and we've got a lot of folks waiting, so we'll talk to Gary in Dayton. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I've just got one simple question. When I was in the military, they had a 12-round magazine that only allowed me to carry 6 bullets. So
okay.
I was wondering, is that because they're trying to prevent misting? Is it going to weaken the spring if I leave my magazines loaded?
Neither of those. It may be more that they just didn't want you to have that much ammo because it's expensive. I really don't know. What were you doing in the what was your role in the military at the time?
I was in the Navy, and occasionally we'd go from base to base. I was stationed in Bosnia, and they wanted me to have a sidearm.
Okay. It has nothing to do with that. I mean, it's not going to cause any damage to the spring. In fact, if there's going to be a problem with a misfeed and the spring is weak, it's more likely to happen when there are fewer rounds in it than when it's full. There's certainly no gun reliability or mechanical reason that I'm aware of, and Jeff is sitting here shaking his head too, so there's no reason for you to do that.
I think one of the issues that's raised is it's administrative, and I don't know who came up with the rule, but I can just tell you there's a local security company that's responsible for a pretty significant asset in the area that requires their security guards to carry their gun in their holster with the safety on, which is something we certainly would not recommend. It's an extra procedure that is potentially damaging. It has nothing to do with tactics. It has nothing to do with the functional operation of the gun. It's just administrative policy of what I'm going to go so far as to say is just ignorant people making decisions. So I'm venturing to guess, just like they don't let certain military personnel on bases carry guns, it was just a policy established by somebody not really in the know, who's really not in touch with what's going on. That's my personal opinion. You can argue it one way or the other, but it's based on a lot of just common sense, I think. It's just somebody that made a decision. You know, the magazine holds 12, put 12 in it. There's no reason to put 6 in it. Now, if they want to limit it because they're worried that soldiers are going to do some crazy things, and they've got other issues they have to deal with, not the limiting the rounds in the gun.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling the show. Let's go out to Mike in Vandalia. He has a question about tasers. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. What's the legal side about carrying a taser? And is there classes to be able to get trained with the taser?
Well, actually, Taser International has taken care of that themselves in that they offer a civilian version of the taser that is totally legal in most jurisdictions. Some jurisdictions have restrictions, but here in Ohio you do not have that specific restriction. But they have an online registration process in order to get the cartridges that go with the taser that you purchase. You have to register through them, and then you have to complete the training. Now, there's a variety of ways you can complete the training. You could either do it online or in conjunction with various certified instructors that are located throughout the country and here in Ohio, throughout the state of Ohio. You can do it either way, but your first step is going to be purchase the taser through a reputable dealer, and then you'll go through the online registration process where they will activate the taser, because you actually have to enter a code in to activate it in order for it to function. And then you'll get your cartridges, and then you'll get your online training, and then if necessary, you can do your actual physical training with a certified instructor. So the best way to get that information is just go to Taser International online, and they'll take you through the process to make that happen.
Okay. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks
for your
calling
call,
the show.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go out to Tim, who's calling from Kettering. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hi. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm a small business owner, and there's something I've never understood is that not being allowed to carry a weapon in a commercial vehicle.
Okay. Are you saying that is a policy, or that you have heard that? What I'm not sure
I
understand, because
that's a felony to carry a if you have a commercial license to carry a weapon in your commercial vehicle.
Okay, yeah, that's actually a fairly common misconception. There's a lot of people that have that understanding, and in fact, it was so common that the folks out at NRA News had the assistant general counsel for the National Rifle Association on the air in the Cam and Company show to discuss that very issue. There are no federal regulations. There's no federal travel commercial regulations that affect the Department of Transportation type things for commercial vehicles, for the commercial licenses, CDL. There are no federal requirements in that regard. What happens is that there are some companies who make it company policy that their drivers can't carry. And in that case, then there's been a lore that's been built up around that, that because they wanted their drivers to take them seriously, they tell them things that may or may not be completely true. And of course, there are many states where you can't carry anything anywhere, in Illinois, for example. If you have a working firearm in your vehicle, you're going to have a problem. So that's a little bit different situation. So transport across state lines adds a little bit different complexity to the situation. But if you're someone, if you're your own business and you have a commercial driver's license and you're staying in the state of Ohio or other states where your license is recognized, there's not a problem with carrying in a commercial vehicle. Still with me? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, we lost him. But that's been a fairly common misconception. A lot of people have had that. So we'll put a link on our website to that. I think there may already be one out there further down in the archives, but I'll freshen that link and move it up to the show notes for today so that anybody who is interested in that and would like to hear Stefan Tomasebi discuss that issue and answer that question about concealed carry or transport of firearms in commercial vehicles. It's a pretty good discussion that he brings forward and to answer that question because it does come up fairly often.
Yeah. Mark, I want to direct our listeners to the August edition of the Freedom Magazine. That's one of the NRA publications.
America's First Freedom.
That's
one
exactly
of the
right.
One of the three publications of the National Rifle Association
and
monthly.
It's a great magazine, and even though I don't read much, I was on vacation last week, and I was just perusing through the, as I typically do, the articles. I had to read one in depth by Newt Gingrich, who was giving the keynote. It was a highlight of his keynote speech at the Celebration American Values Freedom Experience at the NRA conference in Charlotte on May 15th of 2010, and there was a quote in there that's of particular relevance to a lot of the things we've talked about, and I know that you're very emotional about, and that's he says that during the speech,
emotional?
The government has no business trying to stop a legal, law-abiding citizen from being able to protect themselves, and that's an issue that's come up around the country with various laws that they've tried to enact to prevent people from possessing guns, from carrying guns, and it strikes so directly at the Second Amendment right. It's just another topic that I think we can just comment a little bit about today because there, of course, we had the McDonald decision that was just another blow to the anti-gunners and the people who were telling us we can't do things. The Supreme Court affirmed the right of people to have guns. And one thing I don't mention about the McDonald decision, I know we had Ken Hansen from Buckeye Firearms Association mentioned that it was a 5-4 decision, and there's people that get a little bit concerned about those close decisions. But let me tell you, in law enforcement, we're very attentive to the Supreme Court decisions that come down over time. And what I would tell you is I don't know the exact number, but it's less than two, I think, where the Supreme Court has actually overturned itself regardless of what the vote was. So 5-4 decision, 5-4 decision is substantial because the Supreme Court is very reluctant to overturn itself because by doing so, they're basically saying we were wrong the first time and now we're going to get it right. And they're just not into doing that. And I will tell you on this decision, as with several recent decisions, they're right. The dissenters are just more or less importing their political ideology on the issue because the same arguments are being presented in subsequent cases and they come with the same decision. And it's so basic to our Second Amendment right. And I just want to let people know out there that there's a lot of people on that bandwagon. And remember, here we are now, July 24th. We're 4 months away from maybe the biggest election in the history of this great country and where we, the people, can kind of take back what we think is dear to us and make a difference. And I just want you to start thinking about that because when we move into August and the political campaigns start heating up, you've got to look at what's important to you. Maybe you have to look beyond traditional party lines and you have to look at who's supporting the things you hold dear to your heart and take a stand. And the Tea Party movements are very very active in doing that, and I just want to encourage you to take the time to look at the issues that are important to you, particularly Second Amendment issues and other issues for that matter, and look at the candidates who truly represent the way you feel.
If you would like to hear Newt Gingrich's speech to the members' banquet in the 2010 annual meeting at the National Rifle Association, you can go out to the NRANews.com. And we'll provide a link to that on our website, but NRANews.com, if you search through the website for the annual meetings, you'll find the members banquet speech by Newt Gingrich, and you can watch it.
Yeah, it's a very good he mentioned several key points about how the founders came about developing the wording that they very carefully put in the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution in particular. And he spends a whole lot of time on the First and Second Amendment, which are under attack pretty regularly, at least as of late. And if you have the chance, at least read the article. And if not, maybe hear his entire speech. And I know Mark has feelings on both ways about the Second Amendment, but you just need to really look at where you stand, because there's a lot of people out there presenting a lot of inaccurate information. And when we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and we'll talk about several of those issues. But so you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can reach us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914. Just before the last break, I mentioned that there was a comment made by Newt Gingrich at his keynote address to the Celebration of American Values in Charlotte in May, and I was referring to the fact that he mentioned that there's no right, no authority for the government to basically stop law-abiding citizens from defending themselves, and that's what's going on with the various legislation around the country where they're trying to restrict gun ownership and carrying guns for personal protection. And I was at the range today when a colleague of mine, a retired police officer, brought his son, his daughter, and his son-in-law to the range, and they were sitting there talking about what they wanted to do, and the daughter was very reluctant to get involved, and she said she was only going to watch, and I tried to encourage her to get involved, and she goes, "Oh, no, I'm from New York. We don't like guns in New York. We know they sell them, but we don't like them." And I just happened to ask her, "So why is that?" And she came out and she kind of stunned me and said, "Because, well, we're learning from our own lesson that we're one of the safest cities in the country." And I had to kind of step back a bit, because they're not really one of the safest cities in the country. It just happens that they've got one of the biggest mouths in the anti-gun movement, kind of representing them, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who who likes to offer lots of data and rely on rhetoric and get people fired up about information that isn't totally true. And I just want to refer you to the uniform crime reports, and Mark just happened to look up because I asked him to do so. If you remember, in prior broadcasts, we talked about the homicide rates in the country. And around the country, on average, there's anywhere from 9 to 12,000 homicides that occur annually. And in the one particular year that he looked up, it was 2008, New York had 523 homicides. Now, I'm not real good at math, but when you take 523 into, let's say, 10,000, it's a pretty significant percentage. And granted, New York is one of the largest cities in the country, but I guess when she looks at that or she makes that comment, she's obviously slanted by looking at information that's been put in local New York papers, because that's pretty much dominated by Bloomberg and his cronies. That it's pretty one-sided, and they don't have many pro-gun people representing their agenda, because there's lots of different ways that government entities can kind of put the kibosh on that and control that kind of speech there, and it doesn't work very well.
One of these next few shows, we probably need to pull some statistics together and just talk about that question as to what actually is the crime rates in various different places. Look at the gun laws in those places and just do some, just a little bit of comparison. There's some folks that have done some great analysis on that. And we, of course, have access directly to the Uniform Crime Reports, which is really the raw source for the right data. So that's we need to do that. I think that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's go out and talk to Josh in Moraine, who has a question for us. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling.
I have a question. In the National Rifleman magazine, I read a Fish vs. Arizona article where he was charged with malicious intent because he used a 10-millimeter handgun.
Right.
I carry a .38 Ultralight that is not marked as a plus PD-ready gun. But I contacted the makers, and they said that it was fully capable of plus PD. And there were no issues. I currently have plus ammunition in it, but because it's not marked properly, I was concerned if you guys thought that I was liable to be accused of that.
The whole question about what happened with Mr. Fish in Arizona is very complicated. It's much more than just caliber. In the first place, or rather in the last place, he has been acquitted. He has been released, and that situation was wrongly decided. It was based on information he didn't. I don't think he got an adequate defense. He did not bring in expert counsel as early as he should have, and it wasn't until after the first decision had been rendered and he'd already been found guilty once that that he did get some better counsel and some better expert advice. But then now you're in the appeal process, and that extended on far longer than it should have. The legislature tried to reverse that and say, no, he did not do anything wrong, and nobody that's can be convicted for something of this type where he was truly in defense of himself, had a very reasonable and honest belief of grave bodily harm or death, and did nothing improper to defend himself. The actual size of the caliber, it makes a lot of noise in Hollywood. It makes a lot of noise on television, but it really is not relevant, and especially should not be relevant legally. I believe in Ohio, you would not probably have that problem. And frankly, the question of whether or not you have plus P in that gun is much more a question of safety, which you've already addressed by contacting the manufacturer.
Okay.
Yeah, the other thing I'll add to that, when we're talking about, you know, your culpability, whether it's criminal or civil, we're looking at reasonableness on your part. And, you know, manufacturers recommend that ammunition for those particular guns. It's reasonable for people to carry that ammunition. We know from the ballistics checks that they perform very well when stopping threats. So, again, reasonableness guides those decisions, and we just hope that we get reasonable people making those decisions, and that's ultimately going to be the factor that matters. It's not so much specific legislative language that says you can or can't have certain types of ammunition. It's just reasonableness on your behalf, and certainly what you've described to us based on precedent or prior cases or prior activities is very reasonable.
And okay. Quite frankly, as far as the ammunition itself is concerned, in Ohio, there aren't any specific requirements. So if you were in someplace like New Jersey where they don't allow you to have jacketed hollow point ammunition, it must be jacketed, fully jacketed ammunition, that would be a different question. But really, for what you're looking for, what you want to do is find the most suitable ammunition for your task. Thanks very much for calling the show. As you can hear, we're out of time, so be with us next week. Stick around for James Fry, the birthday boy, with Just for the Health of It. And we'll see you next week. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.